Please get your Bibles now and let's turn back to the book of 1 Chronicles this evening to the very last chapter of the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. And our text this evening will be verses 10 through 13. And really, we're just going to take a brief look at how this passage is related to the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. Let's again give our careful attention to God's holy and infallible word. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, we ask for your help. Indeed, we ask for the illumination of your Holy Spirit tonight as we consider the conclusion of the prayer that Christ taught us to pray. Lord, we pray that we might understand in a greater way after this evening the place of praising you and blessing you in our prayers. Thank you for your servant David. We thank you more importantly for his Son, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Tonight we are considering the theme or the subject of the final question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the subject of the last question of the Shorter Catechism, question 107, is dealing with actually the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer. And this question is very helpful for us, and it sets a bit of where I hope to go this evening. Question 107 asks, "What doth the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teach us?" Answer, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which is, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen," teacheth us to take our encouragement in prayer from God only, and in our prayers to praise Him, ascribing kingdom, power, and glory to Him. And in testimony of our desire and assurance to be heard, we say, Amen. Now, I'm not asking you necessarily to turn there, but you can if you would like to this evening. But if you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, many of them will not have these final words that we pray each Lord's Day together, and which are so familiar to the church universal throughout the ages. That is to say, because some of the Greek manuscripts do not contain these final words Many modern translations have stopped putting them in the text. Now, I want to acknowledge it is an important question whether or not the ending is original and part of the instructions that Jesus gave to the disciples in his teaching to them on the matter of prayer. My personal position is that they are original to his teaching. But regardless of that question, what I would like to briefly show tonight is that these words, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," are words that we are to be praying no matter what. No matter where you come down on that question as far as the Greek texts are concerned, this is biblical prayer. This is preeminently biblical prayer, and we should be praying it. And I want us to consider briefly tonight really the witness of the Spirit and the Word concerning the fact that we should be praying this kind of doxology. And that's what this is, ascribing to God glory and honor and power, ascribing truth to Him, doxology. That is to be part of the prayer of the church. That is to be part of our prayer as God's people. And I believe that our text this evening in 1 Chronicles 29 leaves us without a doubt that we are to be praying this part of the prayer, and we are to be praying it with confidence, knowing that the Spirit has preserved these words for us in this early prayer of David, who himself was a type of Christ. So I want us to consider, first of all, and it's kind of a mouthful and kind of a weird way to put it, but the words of the typological messianic king. In other words, David was a pre-picture of Jesus Christ. There were things in David's kingship which were to get us to think forward and were foreshadows of things that would be fulfilled in an ultimate and infinitely greater way in Christ's kingship. And so let's look at the words of this typological messianic king, David. Because the words of our text are King David's praise and prayer to God at the end of his life. They're at the end of his kingship. In other words, these are the mature praises and prayer of a man who has known both trial and triumph in his walk of faith. And at the end of it all, after he has been taken from humble beginnings as a shepherd boy, after he has come to know the extent of sin in his life and has fallen in a humiliating way, after being restored and yet also again at the end of his life being brought low by seeing his own family in turmoil, these are the lasting words that he prays on behalf of and as he leads the people he has served as king. And in these words of his prayer and praise, it's interesting to note that most of the words here, if not all of them, are the words of the Lord's Prayer in seed form. Almost everything that Jesus would teach his disciples, teach us to pray, is found here, except for that first thing that I have in your bullet point there. He wasn't praying to the Father. I had misread it in my earlier study. But he speaks of the glorious name of God. Hallowed be thy name. He praises his kingdom like we're taught to pray, thy kingdom come. He mentions heaven and earth, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He acknowledges that from God come our lots in life and other riches. In other words, riches and honor, which encourages us to pray for our daily bread, our sustenance, knowing that all the things we have in life are ultimately from Him. He acknowledges that from God come lifting up, another way of talking about deliverance or salvation or being exalted by the hand of God. He acknowledges that power and strength come from God alone, and he ascribes the kingdom, the power, and the glory to God alone. And so, that we are to be praying the words of the conclusion to this prayer as it has been prayed by the church throughout the ages is really, I think, beyond question. We are encouraged to pray the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer by the typological messianic king himself, David. His example tells us this is how we are to be praying. But we are also encouraged to pray these words from the very disciples who heard the original instruction of how to pray the Lord's Prayer. In other words, the ones who learned this prayer first of all, in the first place, prayed this way in their own ministries. I'd like us to look very briefly this evening at the words of the Messiah's disciples. Now, although Paul was not there when Jesus first gave the instructions, Peter was. And what we see in Peter is something of a pattern that we see at the end of many New Testament letters. And that is that after rehearsing the glorious acts of God in salvation, after opening up in the letters to the churches what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, the letters, all of the writers of the New Testament break into doxological praise, such as Peter does at the end of 1 Peter, in 1 Peter 5:11, to him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter, in fact, didn't wait till he got to the end of his letter. He broke forth in that same kind of doxological praise at the end, or actually midway through chapter 4, verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We see the same thing in Jude, chapter 20, or verse 25. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. And what Paul learned, the Apostle Paul learned from his personal encounters with Jesus, was to do the same thing. And we see this throughout Paul's letters in 1 Timothy 1:17. Paul writes, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Philippians 4:20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, doxology, which echoes the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer, was a big part of the apostolic practice. The praises and prayers of the early church were full of doxology, and thus should be part of our prayers as well. And finally, under this point, we see that doxology, like we have in the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer, will be, which is our point C, the words of the heavenly messianic community. Again, maybe a strange way to put that, but in other words, the church in heaven will be singing forth doxology to God. In the book of Revelation, we see many scenes of heaven, and virtually every one of them show us the church in heaven praising God with words reminiscent to the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Revelation 7:12, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 19, verse 1, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And so, in spite of the question, and frankly, that's where I want us to be at tonight, in spite of the question of whether or not the conclusion was part of Jesus' original instruction in regards to the prayer of his disciples, which I believe it was. Regardless of that question, it is nonetheless a biblical, apostolic, spirit-inspired practice to pray doxologically, to include in our prayers over and over again, heaping up praise to God for his glorious attributes and truth about him. But having looked at that, I want us to consider just very briefly in the final moments this evening, what do these final words of the Lord's Prayer, what does the conclusion teach us? Well, the question before us really is, why should we end our prayers with doxology? And why do we then end the Lord's Prayer with this great and glorious doxology? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we do so for at least three very important reasons. If you're taking notes, I'll say those a couple times. Three very important reasons. First of all, it encourages us to pray. It encourages us to pray. Secondly, it affirms that God hears us when we do pray. It is an affirmation that God hears us when we do pray. And third and finally, it assures us that he can do all that we ask of him in prayer. It assures us that he can do all that we ask of him in prayer. When we pray in light of, and when we pray acknowledging the kingdom and the power of God, it means that we know that God has all power and has all authority, has all resources to answer our prayers and to graciously grant those requests which we ask of him that are in accord with his will. It is an affirmation and a beautiful confidence that we come before him. We're not just saying, God, if you can do this, it's a matter of God, we know you can do this. You can do this. You can deliver him. You can save him. In fact, you alone can do it. So these doxologies in our prayers is an affirmation that God can do the very things that we ask. When we pray according to his glory, when we pray according to his glory, we can be assured because of what the Bible teaches about God and his love for us and his salvation for us in Christ. When we pray according to his glory, we can be assured that God has so bound his glory up with our salvation that he will never leave us or forsake us. He has a vested interest in delivering us. We are his people. We are his covenant people. He has placed his name upon us. And there is no way he is going to allow us to fall because of the glory of his own name. And so we plead with him according to the glory of his own name, which he has bound up in our own salvation. He is our Father. He is our covenant God. And therefore, he has this vested interest in delivering us so that his holy name might be glorified. Finally, we learn to end our prayer by this conclusion that Jesus taught the disciples. We learn to end our prayer with an amen, which means, amen simply means, so let it be. That's what we're saying when we say amen. So let it be, O God. We add our amen to our prayers, testifying that we really desire the things that we are asking. We're not just coming and sort of haphazardly, well, whatever, God, and, you know, I guess I'm supposed to pray about these things. When we add our amen, what we're saying is we sincerely desire the very things we ask. Let it be, O Lord. Bring this to pass. So we add our amen, and we're saying that we're testifying that we really desire the things that we ask, and we add that amen as a confession that we are confident that God hears our prayers. We say amen. So let it be, O Lord. We know you hear us because we have come in Jesus' name. Our God is to be praised and acknowledged in all his greatness. And he is to be praised for all of his excellent, perfect attributes. And thus we are taught by the Son. We are taught by the Spirit. We are taught by the saints of old. We are taught by the apostles. We are even taught by the pictures of heaven in the Word to praise him in our prayers, to give doxology. To him be the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this prayer that Christ gave to the disciples, which we now take up and we bring with us words as we come into your presence and we pray to you in the very words and manner that Christ taught us to pray. And we are thankful for this conclusion to the prayer that he taught us to pray, which teaches us that we should come and we should bring praise and glory and doxology with us as we bless your holy name. Father, enable us to meditate on these things and to consider what we say when we ascribe power and glory to you and when we add our amen to our prayers. May our time in your word and our time studying the words of our Lord actually change our practice and our prayers. Father, we desire to be changed by you and to see your glory spread across the earth, even as the waters cover the seas. And may it begin with us in this house tonight, that we offer up to you words that are worthy of who you are. For we do tonight ascribe glory and honor and praise to you, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.